Assemblymember Ashby, thank you so much for joining me. This is your second time running to represent this district, and I'd love to hear you talk about the accomplishments that you've been able to deliver to the district in the past 2 years that you've been representing us.
Oh, thanks, Corinne. It's great to be on with you, and it's actually the third time that I'm running. Because I was elected in a special election first, and then that was in 2018, and then the regularly scheduled election in November of 2018 as well. So you feel pretty well connected when you're on that type of pace for campaigning and really trying to get things done. But as far as what we've been able to deliver to the district, yeah, I'm really happy and proud not only to have delivered funds and programming for education, for roads, for infrastructure, you know, stuff that we've had to really battle over during budget process. That fight continues. I mean, obviously we're still involved in it right now. And unfortunately, what we're facing right now is a state government that is really a one-man show at this point. And I'm not alone in that thinking. Many of my colleagues in the state legislature on both sides of the aisle are anxious to get back to work and really start delivering for our constituents.
You know, you mentioned both sides of the aisle, and one thing that strikes me about this district, and you probably are feeling this keenly as in the lead up to the election, as you go door to door and campaign, is that the district is changing a little bit too. You know, you're running as a Republican, but you've got to appeal to a broad spectrum of people in this area. So tell me a little bit about the conversations that you're having with your constituents about, I don't know, like how polarized our politics are now. How do you, as a Republican assembly member, function in a time where we're so polarized and your district is changing?
It's a great question. And our district is very, very diverse. I mean, we deal with issues and problems in places like Lansingburg and what their school district faces, and having one of the largest transient children populations around in upstate New York, and the needs that they're faced with are vastly different than other school districts and what other families are faced with. So it is an amalgamation. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a house, a duplex on Campbell Avenue with my grandmother, who was a staunch Irish American Democrat, and you know, a working class family. And my father obviously was a Republican. And you know, we would have these discussions, and they would have to obviously take a back seat during dinner, right? Where you know, it would trump, you know, a lot of these issues. But you know, there is a way to do this. And you know, I think it's threaded into the American fabric of who we are, because we don't come from a one party outlook. You know, I think diversity is a strength of who we are as a nation and who we are specifically in this district. You know, I'm committed to making that happen. You know, you're absolutely right in that this district is constantly changing the makeup of it. I mean, what we're seeing right now with an outflux of people from New York City coming up to here, it's alarming in some ways, but it's also good in a lot of ways too, because it brings people together. It's an opportunity for us to help each other. It's an opportunity for us to grow.
In what ways is the influx of people from the city to this area alarming?
Well, I think it can be a challenge for some people who have been longstanding residents of the area to see a lot of people from another area come into it. And, you know, that typically you will see in cities, you know, I believe, and, you know, where the population can kind of ebb and flow a little bit more rapidly. But in areas like Columbia County, where it's a largely rural area, you can see a lot of people moving into this area, and where people over there have known their neighbors for a long period of time, and all of a sudden they have many, many new neighbors. No, it's not necessarily alarming in that they're afraid, but it's just, wow, we haven't seen this happen before. So it's something new for them. I think overall it's a good thing. It's something that we should be embracing and really trying to be as productive as we can with it.
Should you retain your seat and come back to Albany, whether that's virtually or in person in January, what are your priorities for the coming year?
Right now, my biggest priority is just going back. The state legislature working together to have a balanced state government. Right now, we have the governor really calling a lot of the shots, and the legislature isn't able to weigh in on that. That's my number one priority. Once we get back, there's a lot of work that we have to do. Obviously, financially, the impact that COVID has had on our communities, it's permeated into everything. Small businesses have been affected. I author legislation that would provide a $5,000 tax credit to small businesses for the modifications that they've made in response to COVID. I think there's other ways that we can help small businesses draw upon the strengths that they already have. I'm very proud of the veterans legislation that I sponsor and have been able to gain bipartisan support for. There's other veterans legislation that will be forthcoming that I already know we are going to have a lot of support for, and I'm anxious to roll that out.
Is there bipartisan support for the $5,000 tax credit idea? I mean, at a time when the state budget is going to take such a hit, I imagine that could be contentious. I don't know. What's the support like for that?
We've had a lot of bipartisan support. I know that we have several Democrat co-sponsors of that bill, not just my colleagues in upstate, several colleagues from downstate and into the city in Western New York and Central New York. So it's very well-rounded bipartisan support. It's not just regional.
You mentioned the goal is getting back to Albany. What's your prognostication in terms of, is the Capitol going to be open for public participation in the legislative process? Do you envision yourself going back to your office in the Capitol, or are lawmakers really planning for a return virtually? Do you know yet?
I'm hopeful that we have a full return and that it's open to the public, taking the necessary precautions with what we're dealing with right now. I mean, that's my aim. That's what I am pushing for. I go back to my office in Albany a fair amount, and I know that a lot of my colleagues do as well. Even my colleagues from downstate in New York City, I know that they're back as well, and a lot of people are feeling like we need to really get back to the task at hand. I anticipate us going back after the election. I don't know if that will be just virtually, like it has been, or if it will be in person. I tend to go back to Albany and be there in person and do it virtually. That's just the way that I prefer. I prefer to do it. So, I mean, you can count on me to be there, whether it's virtually or not.
I only have time for one more question, and I have to ask it. The person at the top of the ticket for your party generates a lot of passion from both sides. And I'm wondering, what can I get you to say about how you think the person at the top of the ticket is going to affect, the down ballot races like yours?
Yeah, I think I appreciate the question and the tact on it as well. And you're absolutely right. In going back to an earlier remark that you had made about things being polarized and people being divided, at the top of the ticket, we have a very polarizing figure. And but I think that there's a lot of things that people can look to in both candidates, really, and find common ground. And that's what I'm focused on. I'm not interested in attaching myself and pledging loyalty to someone or something 100% of the time, because I don't think that wins in this endeavor of politics and public service. I think that in order to make this happen, we've talked about things before. We talked about issues and making compromise and finding commonality and finding goals. And if we take that type of attitude, where we are going to be uncompromising and we're going to cast people away, then we're not going to accomplish what we set out to. So that's what I'm interested in doing. And, and I have no problem in looking into the beliefs and the goals of polarizing figures that are out there and finding things that we can find common ground on and pushing those and advancing those as much as I can. And I know that my colleagues feel the same way on that. That's what I set out to do and what I aimed.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your candor, and good luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you, Corinne.